Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
And we are live.
Wagwan.
Happy having, freaks.
Happy having. This is a new show. Just kidding, I'm here. What's up, freaks? We're here.
Should we put on Morning Ride?
Oh, that is a great song. Happy having. Rip 301. We're live. I'm in New York. As you can tell, Matt's in Nashville. We are joined by our old friend, Bitcoin Sign Guy.
Can't get rid of me.
Can we get the sign?
It's behind me. Yeah, there it is.
Are you allowed to touch it? Or
it's right there. Right there.
Yeah, we can't see it, but we can visualize it.
Can someone please bid against Thomas? It's for sale.
What is there an auction?
Yeah, there is an auction.
But it's not the real sign.
No, it is.
It's the real one. The real real.
Is the original OG. Or is it one of the ones you the yes, recreations? It's been, your limited it's been, edition recreations.
It's not.
Yeah, this is the biggest shitcoin out there.
It's not one of the shitcoins. This is the OG. It's been haunting me. It's a specter hiding in my closet for the last 7 years. So finally time to liberate it, give it back to the Bitcoin public, and hopefully do something better with the proceeds.
Give it to the Bitcoin public through a private auction.
Well, I mean,
it's a public auction.
Hey,
it's public.
I mean, there's 19 million plus Bitcoins out there that the Bitcoin public has. At any rate, yes, it's finally time to.
What's the current bid?
Thomas has it at a half a coin. A little
50
north.
Million sads?
That's right.
Too rich 52. For my blood.
Yeah.
I'm out of the running.
Many such cases.
I know the guy behind the sign. I don't need the sign.
Don't bid. Don't bid, yeah.
I know the guy behind
just,
the
just
sign.
Just a handshake from me is worth more than that thing. A kiss.
That was
2017.
I mean, as of tonight, there will be two. Epoxia.
Two epochs, yeah.
That was during the 25 Bitcoin per block. Yeah.
And you were the first podcaster to have me on. I was so nervous.
We were telling this story last night.
That was in the 12 Bitcoin per block.
Yeah, 12 and a half. Yeah, it was 12 and a half Bitcoin per block. Marty Mass off right now. But no, I remember where I was when I first met you. We were on the rooftop of some New York bar. At some cheesy happy hour during consensus. There was a bunch of shit coiners on
blockchain
the roof.
Week, baby.
I met him at Pierre's first steak dinner.
I saw Pierre. Pierre came back last night.
Yeah, Pierre was at PubKey last night.
Sign guy showed up in the exact same outfit that he wore at the hearing, just so people could recognize him. He was like, I wanted to make sure that people knew.
Oh my god. I still have it. It's here. I might have to put it on. It's like a superhero uniform, anti-hero or something.
I mean, what was the PsyCon under Janet Yellen?
On Bloomberg, it was Yellen strongly opposed to audit the Fed. The Fed does not have a lack of transparency. Strongly opposed to audit the Fed, yeah. That's poetry that is far beyond my conniving.
Yeah, the juxtaposition of buy Bitcoin and you cannot.
I want to note at the top of this, people are going to complain about sound. The distance from the mic makes a really big difference.
Is this better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm not a professional podcaster.
I was going to be a dick to PubKey, but I decided not to.
Oh man, Jerk's been running around, setting everything up.
Logan and I have just been having to listen to the background of them setting up for the last fucking 20 minutes.
Hey, we figured it out though. We got it.
Me and Logan bonded. We became much closer friends throughout the process.
No, it was actually funny, Freaks, is that they solved my technical difficulties from Nashville.
Wow.
I had to have Matt text me what to touch on the...
Because he couldn't hear us. He just kept going over and over. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Bro.
Oh, we're here.
How many Bitcoiners does it take to change a light bulb?
21.
Depends which ones you get together.
To change a mic input, yeah.
It took four of us collectively in three different states. Matt, big day. How are we feeling?
Dude, it's been such a good epoch. We got a lot of shit done. It's been great for Bitcoin. I think it's been great for both of us personally and for the freaks. And I guess today is like our version of New Year's, right?
I guess so, yeah. What would you equate it to?
But like the 4-year time period is a much better reminiscing period, I feel like. You can like properly benchmark how you're doing and what you want for the next 4 years.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is measured in 4 years.
Yeah, quadrennial events, presidential elections, Olympics. Yeah.
High school, college.
I mean,
contests, like the Olympics.
I kept the list kind of light today. I mean, we have some big things that happened this week that we should talk about. But also, like, I wanted to just kind of reminisce about this epoch, this last 4 years. And, you know, talk about the next epoch and where we're going from here. Cause I mean, it's been absolutely massive. If you think about it, the last halving was May 2020, right? So March 2020, they closed down the world. They told us random people in China were just dropping dead. Marty and I were still in New York. Bitcoin fell from like 11,000 to 3,500. Murad's fund got liquidated. A lot of other people got liquidated.
Murad's back on Twitter, by the way.
Sending, Sailor signals. Sailor wasn't in Bitcoin yet. No ETFs existed. 1031 wasn't launched. OpenSats wasn't launched. I got married during this epoch. I had a kid. You had two kids. We both left New York. It's a big 4 years.
This is a very big 4 years. And comparing it to where I was on the day of the last halving, May 2020, middle of lockdowns, sitting on my father-in-law's back porch at the Jersey Shore, participating in a live stream.
From his bedroom.
In quarantine from my bedroom. Now here we are at PubKey.
Well, it was from your stepfather's bedroom.
Stepfather? Like,
they're not stepfather. Father-in-law. Yeah. You know, it's been a long epoch. You gotta give me a break. And we had RHR every fucking week. Some weeks we had twice.
That a year, dude. My mom's like, sorry, too soon.
Oh my gosh.
Sore subject.
Good grief. Good grief.
No, that's been crazy. I mean, and then like that's happened personally. You look out at the world, trillions of dollars have been printed. Trillions in debt has been issued. Sanctions have been levied against countries.
In New York.
The dollar has been weaponized. Yes, we were in New York City, right off of Washington Square Park.
We heard the horn. That's why.
I will say the energy has been good. Being around, I don't know if I could move back here and live here again, but as a visitor walking around the city, the energy is palpable. That's another thing. We've moved cities. We were living here right before last epoch. A lot has changed. Feeling very bullish. Feeling more mature. A little hungover.
Marty, you don't even know what I named the episode.
Oh, what'd you name it?
New era. No. New epoch, new era. Having special.
Is that a Taylor Swift special reference?
Is it?
She's really popularized that word. It's in the vocabulary, mostly thanks to her.
Well, unintentional.
Wow. Swifty Matt O'Dell.
I mean, you're the one who recognized the reference.
I just too online, I guess. I'm too up on the current thing.
But it is pretty crazy. What a fucking epoch. It was good.
Yeah. Thousands of Bitcoin patriots on standby. Activation word, Ronald McDonald.
What the fuck?
All right. Let's talk about the halving, though. Let's look at Clark's dashboard. If we go over to Clark's dashboard, we are currently up block height. He like changed the dashboard. We're at block height. Why did you change the dashboard, Clark? God damn it. The day of the halving, you're going to do this to me.
He just dropped
to highlight the halving. They put the halving.
I know. But like, why?
It's not a coincidence, Marty, and not everything's about you.
I know he listens to this show and he knows our routine.
If he listens to this show, then why is his mempool still so tiny?
Yeah, because he's got mempool confidence, you know. Some people are comfortable with the teeny weeny mempool.
You know, if you don't want your software interfaces changing out from underneath you, there's an operating system for you.
Oh god, the urban chills are in here.
Oh fuck hey, you, I, man.
Believe it or not, Clark Moody is an urban maximalist.
Okay, I was waiting to bring this up. But like,
I'm jumping the gun, man.
This was the epoch where you realized you were wrong, right? Like you were so fucking wrong. Like I told you that was a shit coin. And here we are.
What do you mean?
Do you have like 10 users?
I've never bought. I do have an Urbit startup, but we made our own implementation of the Lightning Network. So what can I say? It's really a Bitcoin startup.
Talk about that implementation. It is pretty cool.
No, we're not. This is
Matt's not entertaining this.
It's the halving special. It's the halving special. Fuck Urbit. Irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Okay. We've already talked about it too much.
All right. We're at block height 839,945. We are 55 blocks away from the next subsidy halving. And Thomas is on the phone in the back. Thomas, do you want to come say hi while we're doing this?
He's Why is he on the phone cleaners. In the studio?
He had to call the dry cleaner.
Huh? Can he step out of the room?
He's got...
Marty, shoot him.
I'm not going to shoot him. This is his...
Come say hi. Hi, everyone.
What up, Tom?
Nice to see you.
Tom, what are your thoughts on this last epoch, reflecting on the last 210,000 blocks?
Is this one on?
Yeah,
they're both on.
Can you uncross your legs? Can you like do it?
I do the William Buckley. I do the William Buckley. Lean as far back as you can in your chair. Cross your legs. Stick them out.
All right. What was the question?
Reflections on the last epoch.
The last epoch was good. Bit of a shit show. I don't know. What was the most significant thing from this epoch? Probably like Taproot, and then unintended consequences, unforeseen consequences.
Yes. For the protocol, I think the money printing was a pretty big deal this epoch.
Post-COVID. They shut down the whole world.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought we were talking about Bitcoin, though.
I mean, this shutting down the world has an impact on Bitcoin.
COVID was probably the biggest thing. Everybody lost their fucking minds for an extended period of time. That was suboptimal, to say the least. Yeah. But it was a bit of a blur these last 4 years. I think that, you know, the space like just had an absolutely massive expansion. We flushed out a lot of, I would say, scams, frauds, right? Collapse of FTX, BlockFi, Celsius. And then really sort of the wholesale collapse of this, like the first wave of the institutional TradFi OTCs are still kind of decimated. I think the largest OTC still standing is Galaxy.
Cumberland?
Tom Brady asked the world if they were in on a shitcoin casino during the Super Bowl, and they lost all the money within like 8 months. That's pretty fucking insane.
I still think about those photos with Giselle, just like that goblin next to it. Most beautiful woman in there, just legs everywhere, and there's this goblin in socks. Yeah. What?
Never mind. I don't know. I don't know. I take it back.
Okay.
What did we, Matt? You mentioned this last week.
Remarks.
And it was, Matt, it was a hypothetical last week. Have you thought about it anymore? Will you two calm down over there?
You started it.
Marty, switch back to your camera.
Do you think we're going to have a reorg at the halving?
Yeah. So I have this on the list, and okay. It's important. It's an important list item. But we've had multiple independent reports kind of come together at the same time, right? That Ann Poole and Jihan essentially control 47% of the hash rate through proxy pools.
I think it's more. I think it's like 53, isn't it?
Well, the number that Mananat said was 47%. It's 9 pools. It's basically like everyone of size besides Foundry. And they love the inscriptions and the all that bullshit. So it's kind of, it might just become like a little bit of a slugfest between Foundry and the Ann Poole Mafia.
So Matt, do you think that Jihan is going to have a glow up like Zuck?
I mean, he did already in 2017. He's just kind of been trying to recover from that since then. I do think that
looks pretty cool at that bar.
Yeah, he's gonna be the Giga Chad soon.
It's, how old is he? He could be like 20 or 50 in that picture.
Well, you two get it together for running a show here. Stop having side guys, conversations.
Guys, this is I mean, I think this is an important conversation, right? This 47% of the hash. I think it's in nobody's best interest, and I think Jihan realizes that. That's why he kind of hit it. And now that it's out in the light, it should be interesting to see what his next move is. I think part of the reason it became out in the light is because they had to do a consolidation strategy because fees went up. And they control all the wallets. So you can see the consolidations there. And then after that point, People did some like OX1B10C. I think I nailed that. Hard name to remember. Dude's a fucking legend. He did some like block template research, and like they're constructing the blocks as well, like choosing which transactions are in the blocks, not just managing the custodial payout addresses. So I wonder what his next move is, because it's not in his best interest to control that much, at least publicly. But he's not going to do it till after the halving, because he really wants that halving block. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's a bit disconcerting. Does Stratum V2 fix this? Does anything fix this?
No. I mean, look, Stratum V2 is a strictly a net benefit. But like the reason they're using this custodial payout address, like one custodian to do all of it, is because of their payout scheme, right? And their payout scheme requires the mining pools to essentially run a risk reward scenario where they're providing consistent payouts regardless of the actual blocks. And as long as miners want that, like end user miners want that, then it doesn't matter what the technical specifications of how they communicate with the mining pool are.
Yes, this is FPPS specific.
Yeah. Right. Thomas, like, that's why, like, if you look at it, it's all the Asian pools, and then it's Brains, and it's because Brains decided to switch to FPPS.
Which, as a Brains user, as a Brains user, like, FPPS has been much more pleasant.
What's the actual concern, right? What's the worst case scenario that we're talking about? Let's gamify this.
Well, the worst case scenario is, besides like an active attack, the worst case scenario is the Chinese government and the U.S. government both decide to censor a transaction, and then it's Foundry and the Ampool Mafia is at like 80% of the hash. And that transaction is going to have to wait a lot longer and probably pay a higher fee, but still get confirmed.
That or like another area of concern here would be like for an individual mining pool, like they have to trust that the funds are actually getting sent to the wallet that they want. But then you'd have a temporary intercabal squabble where they're like, hey, you're not giving us the payout. We're going to go do it ourselves. I guess that's another thing that could happen.
I'm kind of, I mean, we also have like derivatives markets of Bitcoin have started heating up. So there are, right, like the key piece of game theory that protects the whole system, right, is that miners don't want to kill the golden goose that is Bitcoin, because they have all these machines that only mine Bitcoin. Like their whole business is Bitcoin. Jihan is nothing without Bitcoin. But there are ways, you know, to go short in very large amounts and attack the network at the same time, which does remove some of that game theory, and it's worth people keeping in mind.
Yeah. So I think there's like Godzilla attacks and Goldfinger attacks, right? Extracting a tremendous amount of value and destroying the network doesn't really make sense here. There could be a Godzilla attack where there is something like far more destructive in with an intent that is more permanent. I think short-term fuckery just erodes trust in any one of these entities. They're obviously disincentivized from doing that, because I think, you know, miners will have to deal with that for a shorter period of time and then figure out what the alternatives look like, you know, after a couple of, I don't know, how long would a miner tolerate this behavior if they're being, you know, censored for an extended period of time?
Well, I mean you could do like just like a simple block withholding. Is that a Goldfinger strategy by your metaphors? Like you could do like Ampool.
I guess so.
Ampool could just not publish their blocks right away, because they're 47% of the hash, and then all the other miners are at a disadvantage, and then Ampool makes more money, and then more people go to the Ampool Mafia, and then that accelerates and gets worse.
So I mean, let's zero in on what's going to happen later today. You know, runes go live. We have things like Slipstream.
I'm glad we have a resident shit corner here to remind us what's about to go on.
This is what's
going to
make it insane. I mean, what do you think the total block reward is going to be for like 8-4 bunch of zeros?
We had side bets on this in Signal. I wouldn't be surprised if it's.
Are we talking about the halving block?
Six and a half Bitcoin.
Six and a half? I bet it tops 13.
You think so?
Yeah.
So
are you willing to bet Bitcoin sign guy sign on it?
Well, I don't have it yet.
He doesn't own it yet.
Closer to Mike.
I don't own it yet. You're gonna have to make this easy.
These two are very cute together. You should see these two interact.
To the people asking what runes are, it's like the next generation of inscription bullshit.
Yeah,
and they've been waiting for the halving.
It's like an expansion on the functionality of inscriptions, theoretically. So there's going to be a lot of competition for people that, you know, believe in the tooth fairy and that there are like rare sats and epic sats. People are going to be fighting to, you know, have a transaction in that first block, because then those sats are there in that realm. Those sats are viewed as, you know, more valuable as a collectible. So I think that there is going to be a fair amount of fuckery in that first one. And in the next subsequent ones, I think 1, 2, 3, 4 in the next halving, in the next epoch, are also going to see some of the same behavior.
Not five.
Huh? No, you know, it'll continue. It depends on, you know, what the actual activity around this new era of inscription functionality looks like. I don't really put a ton of faith into it being something that's like a forever thing, but the early activity, I think, is going to be robust.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a forever thing. I'll just go on the record and say it's going to burn out eventually.
Yeah, but nothing ever dies.
No, it's
true.
We
talked about this, I think, a year ago. You and I talked about whether or not this was the
right
the,
over there on that table.
The death spiral for shitcoins, and now we got bonked.
Yeah. Yeah, I should never call tops on anything.
Marty's been calling shitcoin tops for a decade.
Too many years.
Look, nothing ever dies, and that's going to come to Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the strongest base layer.
Marty called peak clown world, and then we had 2020. It was like pre-2020 peak clown world call.
No, I called it in 2021. Continued.
So I do think we're going to see some of these like MEV concepts expressed, and I think it does come down to the mining pools. The mining pools are in the driver's seat for a lot of this activity, and I think that there is going to be a lot of manipulation and a potential reorg in the first, I don't know, 10 blocks of the next epoch. So I would expect that, but I think any really dramatic fuckery is going to be short-lived and pretty detrimental to the pool at the end of the day. So I think there's going to be some caution, but there will be some, I expect some, you know, shenanigans.
Yeah. To add more context to this, Will Foxley tweeted out the other day that Foundry had emailed their users, their pool customers, and said that they are going to try to mine, or not that they're going to try to mine the first block, but the Ordinals people are focused on what they're calling epic sat. Within block 840,000, Foundry promised to basically pay out all the miners in the pool, like the amount that people buy that sat for.
Look, Marathon's pool has gone kind of all in on this,
yeah, Slipstream.
Right? With Slipstream. Do you know what a legendary sat is?
No.
What's the pecking order?
It's a cycle.
Just let's just end the fucking episode.
Well, no, I think it's important. I think it's important for. I mean,
you got to understand where the collectible shit coinery is in the space and understand.
Wait, so what the fuck is a legendary set?
So it's a cycle, and I believe that's when a halving coincides with a difficulty adjustment,
like an eclipse, sort of.
Yeah, that happens at block height 1,200,000.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my fuck that. All this shit is make believe. None of this exists.
Yeah, no, it is literally all
this
subjective.
This is all bullshit.
Bullshit.
Ordinals don't exist.
So to reiterate, in my defense, I said that this was like a tooth fairy thing. Okay, but if people believe in this and it does have real world effects on how the protocol is you know progressing, we should be aware of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're just being exploratory here, and the reason we bring it up today is literally going to affect things.
Questions.
this could affect things in like it's going to affect the network in literally 6 or 7 hours.
So yeah, for sure.
You have 6 or 7 hours, or I think tonight.
All right, so let's go back to the question, right?
It's funny you don't. You don't.
Are we going to have a reorg?
If you didn't, if you didn't get your UTXOs in order, like it's you got to wait now. We passed the point of no return.
Yeah. Are we going to reorg? Do you think?
I mean, it depends, right? Like if Luke finds the block. Like if Ocean finds the block, like they're going to take it from him. There's like no shot in hell they let him have it, right? Because both Foundry and Ample Mafia are going to try and stop it. If one of them get it, then it'll be harder for them to do a reorg. Now, there could be a situation where there's like a block withholding ahead of it, right? And I'm not really looking forward to this because I agreed to go on the Bitcoin Magazine halving stream. But there's a chance that like, those last four blocks, five blocks are like 2 hours. And then they all come in at the same time because both miner, both Foundry and Ample Mafia are withholding their blocks because it's worth it to them, even if they lose a block or two there, to release four or five at the same time and try and take it for themselves. Because it's like the couple blocks before the halving, and then it's the couple of blocks because you, if you're going to do it, you probably want to like publish it. So it's two blocks past the halving. It's just like 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, boom. Like those five blocks, the three before, the two after, and just anchor yourself in and then hope that, you know, the other big guy is not going to try and take it from you. Right. I think that's good game day analysis. I think you come to RHR for the alpha. That's the alpha right there.
I just hope it's some poor schmuck that got like, you know, two bricks from Compass, like mining in his basement. That just like
self mining.
It's a USB miner.
No, my point is they're not going to let that happen, right? Like
it's like one of those Balaji really devices.
21 cup. Yeah. Do you think that
the small miners like have almost no shot?
But you're telling me there's a chance.
No. I mean, you want to bet?
No, of course not. But there's a chance.
Like, what do you think the odds are that it's Ampool Mafia or like the nine pools Ampool controls and Foundry?
I think like, it's going to be a Foundry block. I think I already have a side bet on that.
Why do you think it's going to be a Foundry block?
I'm just feeling Foundry right now. I don't know.
I bet it's going to be F2 pool. I'm going to go F2 pool.
But F2 pool is just Ampool Mafia. It's all the same.
Yeah.
That rare sat is going to bail out Barry entirely.
Fuck Barry.
It's going to make all the creditors whole. What else?
I don't know. I know you have
so
to.
So we have Bitcoin in space. We have Bitcoin in space asking how you withhold a block. He's in the real live chat, which is our Nostr powered live stream, powered by Zapstream. You can find that by going to rhr.tv/stream. You do not need a Nostr account. You can make one on the webpage. Super easy. It's like two clicks. Asking how can you withhold a block? Someone else will propagate their block and then you're screwed. That is correct. But a block withholding attack is where you withhold a block after you find one, then you start building on top of it. And you can continue to do that. Like in a situation where there's bullshit value that you can extract because of all this inscription shit, that risk is it's a risk reward calculation that you're making. And if you think that you can build the next five blocks before the rest of the network can, then you withhold those blocks and then you release them all at the same time. And then you have the chain with the longest verifiable proof of work.
Would you say it's like charging your move in Smash?
I guess, yeah.
Where you're frozen in place for a half a second.
Yeah.
And then it does double damage or something.
That's a good analogy.
That's a good analogy. Come on. Give me some credit.
Good. Yeah.
Who is your Smash character?
Smash attack. Link, duh.
No, it was Pikachu. Big Martin. Pikachu guy.
I was Link, too. I'm a Link guy myself.
Pikachu like Link from Wind Waker.
Pikachu.
Pika, Pika. I mean
it's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be fine. It's just these people are so annoying. Grown men caring about this shit.
It's gonna be it's fascinating. It makes Matt so upset that they probably get gratification from
that. Yeah. Then
so Matt, what's on tap for the Havening party in Nashville with Bitcoin Magazine?
So they actually like built a whole stage and shit for the live stream, and it's going to be broadcast from Nashville. And a bunch of their teams in town, like George McHale and Rizzo and LeClaire.
That's cool.
So, I mean, but it's the fucking, you know, it starts 21 blocks before the halving. So no one knows when it's going to start. And I agreed to go over there after RHR. So I'll find out what the fuck's going on. But
show starts almost 4 hours before the
halving. Portnoy and Mallers is going to be on. Though I'm excited about, and I hope they just put me with Portnoy. I just want to.
All right, if you get along with Portnoy, we need a game plan. This right now,
if they put me on with Portnoy, it will bang. And that's
what are you planning? What are you planning on telling him? What, should I text him right now? I'm like, have you?
But don't give him like a heads up. So he has no idea who I am. Let him just roll into it.
So wait, they're doing 21 blocks.
You were in his merch closet before, dude.
I know. I wasn't. I saw his beautiful $1 million studio, and then you said, "Okay, now we're recording in the shirt closet." And that was when I realized everyone's a fucking scammer.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
So they're doing 21 blocks. Each block has its own like set of like, you know, programming, or is
no,
there?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Like a 2 minute block, it's like, all right, Dave, you're up. And then that one just bangs through.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be great.
Deck, you're up.
If there is like a 5 block withholding attack for the actual halving, that'd be lit.
Yeah. So we were going through this yesterday. TJ Miller is emceeing tonight's party with me. And I was explaining that like we could get to the last block, and that block could take like, that's not like a countdown, that could take like 45 minutes to process. And that was kind of mind blowing and disruptive to us planning what the evening actually looks like.
It's like the weirdest fucking New Year's. I mean, like, just forget about any attacks. Let's say there's no attacks. Like, it literally the last block could take an hour and a half. And you're just like all sitting there, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, when is it going to happen? And then all of a sudden, it just fucking will happen. Right. And so you can't really plan around it at all.
Yeah.
I'd
prefer to be at a bar than on a live stream.
You should be grateful it's happening in the evening
on a Friday. Look,
not at 5 a.m.
Yeah. I thought it was going to happen at midnight, which would have fucking sucked. But it's a little bit bittersweet for me because we are having like our own halving party with members at Bitcoin Park. And like, I won't be there for that. I don't know. It'll be fun, and there's a bunch of people, you know, Bitcoin Magazine, this epoch was the epoch where I consulted for Bitcoin Magazine and then left. I started October 2020, then I left a month after the last event. So I do have friends over there, and a bunch of them are in town, and I'm looking forward to kicking it with them.
Well, speaking of events, I completely forgot. We have something to announce, the group here.
We got a little announcement?
We got an announcement.
What we got?
Are we announcing it, gentlemen?
I'm ready. Matt, you good?
Is someone pregnant?
I mean, we still have specifics to work out, but I'm happy to tease it.
So, I mean, please, do the honors.
We have... July 24th, Bitcoin Miami and Nashville week. We have that Thursday. We found a great venue in Nashville. We're going to do a 600 person RHR pub key extravaganza. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have space for 600 people. We got a big ass venue. And we'll get you more details hopefully soon, but it's going to be, I believe I got the date right, July 24th, which is
I think that's right.
I know for a fact it's the Thursday of that week. So if I got the specific date wrong.
It's the PubKey RHR Hot Style Takeover.
Hot Style Takeover.
There you go. I didn't even know that name, but
I didn't know until right before I walked in here.
It's perfect. Like hot chicken.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, this epoch was, I think the first time we did a live RHR was 2019
on a picnic bench. Bitcoin sign guy was with us.
Dang. And then we've
three of us, Pierre and Francis.
That was fun.
Yeah. And for this new epoch, it'll be the first time that we're going alone and not doing it at the event. But I'm pretty excited. 600 people. You don't have to have a ticket to the event to go to join us. And it'll be a lot of fun.
You don't have to have a ticket to the Bitcoin conference. You have to have a ticket to the live RHR.
Yeah, correct.
Be specific.
Yes, that's yes. Correct. Yeah, we're going to be throwing a lot of pub key heat. We'll be bringing our bar and kitchen personnel. We'll have a special menu. We're launching something called Private Key, which is like an in-call, out-call events company for the pub key pop-up. So I think this is going to be the first official one.
It's like a catering business, right? Key.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a good name. Private Key is a good name for
private
the catering.
Private Key. Yeah, you have
Private Key. Guys, key. In proper RHR fashion, I did fuck up the date. It's July 25th. It's the first. There we go. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Someone in the live chat, Dylan in the live chat, said it's July 25th. And then I just, the freaks fuck with me sometimes. So then I actually checked the calendar just in case he was fucking with me. But shout out to Dylan in the live chat for telling us.
Shout out to you, Dylan. Dylan LeClaire.
No, it's just Dylan.
No. Thanks, Dylan.
It's going to be fun, though. I'm excited, except for the heat in Nashville in July. Not excited for that. It's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we doing
the live pro with our shirts off?
Yeah, what the hell were they thinking?
It was a curious choice from, like, Miami to, like, something that's even, like, hotter and more difficult to deal with.
I think there's going to be, like, 30,000 people in town for that.
That's crazy.
I mean, I will not be making any price predictions about what price we will be at that point, but you can extract
125,000 a coin.
I would not be surprised. Going higher. Super cycle. It's a super just cycle.
Oh, Marty.
There will be four reorgs.
Marty, we officially had a dump, by the way.
Yeah, that was a dump. That was a dump. What? Was that 20%?
You said no dumps. Do we have a 20%?
I don't think it was 20%.
It was like 74 to 59K.
Yeah, that might be 20%.
You might have been saved by like a couple basis points.
Yeah.
It's like 19.99% drop.
Yeah, that was...
Thomas, so that if you haven't been paying attention, Marty's prediction for this cycle was no more dumps.
No more dumps.
Which is...
And a dump being 20% or more.
Yeah.
He made that up after we dumped 12%.
Okay. So what's your price projection?
I don't know. It's going to be high. Higher than it is now.
Higher than it is now.
Yes.
Where are we sitting right now? 64. Do you see us running into the halving?
No, I think
in these last few hours?
No. I don't think so.
I think we pop.
Think so? Friday afternoon?
Look, I'm always...
People are sleepy.
I'm an eternal optimist. Going into the weekend, markets are closed. What is this halving thing? Creates anxiety.
Yeah, is there going to be less Bitcoin tomorrow? So I need to buy now. Maybe the psychological, musings of a new coiner, if you will.
This epoch, I'm making no price predictions. Stay humble, stack sets.
Yeah,
nothing ever happens.
Let's doing a retrospective. Who are we going to miss most that we lost this epoch?
Pop Shoe,
rest in peace. Mersha pops you.
He's not dead.
He's not dead. I was just about to say
was,
that.
Was like, McAfee actually seen alive? Can someone confirm?
I don't think
so. McAfee.
Don't believe anything you hear on Twitter.
McAfee must be because I don't think he could stay away from the limelight.
And to be clear,
like he would have said something, but he probably also didn't kill himself. Like,
no, the CIA probably. I mean, do you think he actually had those servers? Do you guys know the theory of the Miami?
No, he clearly. I mean. Nothing got released. He said that something was going to get released after he died.
Well, you know the theory.
No, please.
Is that the dead man switch was in that building that fell in like north of Miami a couple years ago?
Did he have an apartment there?
Apparently.
Which is like the shitty condo building?
Yeah, this is like a conspiracy. I can't validate it. But there is a theory out there.
My new favorite one is panda bears aren't real.
Yeah, Thomas, do you not have lights? Do you not can you not afford lights over there in PubKey?
What are you talking about? His camera moved. Here, let me fix it.
No, it's fine. Like it's weird. We're seeing it nice.
Now we can see Marty again. Here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you telling me that McAfee is not a Final Message customer?
Oh, we shut down Final Message.
Wow.
Too much liability.
There goes my inheritance.
You talk
no. If you have an existing Final Message switch, we will honor that forever.
Forever.
But we just stopped new customers. It was just, I think there's better options out there. And I really want to see someone rebuild it with Noster.
With Urbit, you mean?
Let the freaks know what Final Message is for those who are unaware.
Noster is unsuited for
it. It was an email dead man switch.
Mission critical application. Noster is utterly unreliable.
It was an email based encrypted dead man switch. So you can just have like an encrypted message that goes out to your loved ones if you pass away. And there's ways you can do it self hosted. Google has a free version. I think a lot of these multi-sig collaborative custody providers like can offer a more seamless experience, like a Nunchuck or an Unchained. And then our big issue was that we were using email as the communication layer. And I think Noster fixes that. So, I mean, this epoch, we've talked about it earlier, but was the epoch that OpenSats and 1031 launched. And to be frank, there wasn't that many customers of Final Message. So it was a lot of responsibility and, you know, not necessarily that many users, and there's better ways of doing it. And so we just gracefully stopped accepting new users. But we will honor all existing switches, and we continue to. There's a couple of ride or dies out there that haven't died yet. and we're honoring those switches.
Your Final Message will be honored, freaks.
What's the longest cadence that someone has to one top year. Up the payment? 1 year. Oh, okay. So they have to make it an annual heartbeat.
Yeah, and, it's an annual. It's like it's literally, and the heartbeat is paying us.
yes.
But yeah, like I said, I think there's better ways to do it. I think the Miniscript gang has some cool things too, where you can do like native Bitcoin script time lock stuff. There's like a lot of different ways you can do it.
That'll be decent evidence.
It was a little bit ahead of its time, and it's a little bit outdated. So
you could use that as evidence to continue to collect like pensions, like that Japanese like pension scam where there's somebody that's alive who's like 140 years old, but they actually died like 80 years ago, and the family's like, no, they're still good. They're here. They're making these payments.
This is like a common.
Yeah, it's pretty common scam. Thing in Japan. Yeah,
interesting.
But the Brazilian woman who wheeled her dead uncle.
Did you see that? Did you see that, Matt?
No.
Did you see that?
He's like, oh, she's
Logan.
Oh,
find
he's just like that.
Logan, find the video, put it up. And I'm sure you saw it. You saw it.
The head is so floppy.
I did not.
Yeah. Just search Brazil dead man. I think the video should come up first.
Mm-hmm. She was trying to get him to sign over a bank account.
Yeah, no, a loan to get him to take a loan.
A loan. Oh,
or to co-sign a loan. This woman wheeled a dead person into a bank and tried to have him sign a.
That's terrible.
Sign a loan agreement.
She didn't even think to one, prop his head up, two, put some sunglasses on him, etc.
Clearly has not watched Weekend at Bernie's.
Clearly, yeah.
No,
there are ways that you do this.
Yeah,
amateur necromancer.
Who's the scammer we're gonna miss the most that went down this cycle? Sam was a bad scammer. He was not a good one.
Not going to miss any of the scammers.
No.
The best scammer was Barry, though. And he's still around.
He's still around.
I mean, what? Doquan had like 6 months of fame? That crashed.
6 months of fame, and then he stuck a Trezor up his butthole. That's probably... I mean, that probably takes the cake for most cringe move by a scammer. So having to stick a Trezor up his butt.
Why don't we?
you know how seed phrases work, bro.
This video
leading up to that event it must have been like incredible. Like the panic and like arriving at that being a good decision. Like this will work, maybe. I gotta try.
Sticking a treasure up your butt. We do have more topics on the list. We'll go down them. Craig Wright. Another, I mean, that's a good thing. We're actually ending this epoch as a nice, like, just what I'm looking for.
Closing. Clean break.
Clean break before the next epoch.
He's not.
Craig done. Wright discontinues his tulip trading case.
I don't think he's done.
I think he's going to go to jail.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's a fraud.
He perjured himself.
He's clearly a fraud. But I just don't think he's done. Like, Calvin's not backing down. It seems like Calvin's still funding at least some of this. They're just sort of like retrenching.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think they wasted a lot of money.
Is this podcast sponsored by Zin?
Yeah. Don't have any Zin zombies, so not today.
Okay. Should Who's I announce that? My...
Jerk.
That was Jerk.
Should I?
Gentlemen, I have to check in on the party downstairs with Cypher, and I will be back shortly.
Bring some beers with you if you do.
You want some beers? What do you want?
Whatever.
Anything?
On brand.
On brand. I'll be back.
No, this podcast is not sponsored by Zin, but it is sponsored by...
No, it isn't.
What should I call my new artisanal chewing tobacco company? I'm growing tobacco. But it's not for sale, ATF. Come visit the plantation, Matt.
I look forward to it.
Connecticut is actually a top tobacco producing region in the world. Yeah. Unironically, the most high quality cigars are Dominican or what used to be Cuban filler leaves. And then the Connecticut shade variety is the most common tobacco wrapper leaf, known for their broad, beautiful leaves.
Fascinating.
Look it up, actually.
I'm just thinking of artisanal tobacco company names, and now I'm getting sidetracked.
I'm doing no additive chewing tobacco.
I don't know if you've been paying attention, but we're mostly a naming show now. Like, we just
haven't been paying attention. We do give naming advice.
Throw me some names.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Redman just changed their name to America's Best, so maybe I could squat on Redman.
Why did they change their name?
I think it's a like Redskins type situation.
I'm well aware.
Chewing tobacco users notoriously care so much about identity politics.
Key demographic. I mean, that's another thing. It seems like identity politics. I mean, despite the example that you just laid out, it seems like that's on its way out as well, or at least less effective as it had been.
That's a very dangerous thing to call the top on, man. Cthulhu may swim slowly, but he only swims left.
Who wrote that?
Okay, let's continue with the list before Thomas gets back, because then we're going to get sidetracked again.
That's Grant.
Okay, go.
OpenSats has granted long-term support to Nosser developers Stuart Bowman and Hazard 149. You had these? Did you have both of them on Citadel Dispatch earlier this week?
Yeah.
Is this for their Blossom project?
And they work on a bunch of things in Nosser. These guys are prolific. These guys are fucking legends. You should listen to the Citadel Dispatch. I think it was one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. One of the best shows I've ever done. And I'm proud that OpenSats is providing them long-term support grants. So this is part of our Nosser long-term support initiative. We have a separate Bitcoin long-term support initiative. And to be clear, this money is not like being pulled away from Bitcoin developers. We have two separate funds. We have the Nosser fund and then we have the general fund. So these donations that are going to these Nosser developers were allocated to the Nosser fund from donors. So, and I will say, like, you know, I think, and I know I'm a broken record on this, I think Nosser developers are leading the way in terms of the next stage of Bitcoin adoption. And I think these things compound on top of each other. These guys have really cool thoughts, tools, projects. A lot of their work focuses on AI and media hosting and provable media hosting and being able to make sure that what you're actually watching is what was actually released and verifiable. And these trends are going to become more and more common over time. And there's direct Bitcoin overlap that happens. I mean, we had conversations about basically paying Bitcoin to try and source a file. You want to get access to RHR 151, and you want to make sure it hasn't been changed and hasn't been altered using AI. Their tooling essentially will allow you to get a verifiable version for it, pay Bitcoin if you need to pay Bitcoin to incentivize someone to provide you with that original file. And it's, you know, it's like a little bit mind-bending shit. Like they're on the bleeding edge. Very excited that OpenSats has supported them. Very grateful for their work. And it was just a really fun conversation. Both of them have, you know, haven't been on many podcasts. So new voices too, which is always nice.
I love the new voices. The Blossom projects particularly really excites me. Like being able to replace something like IPFS using the
We intentionally go through like what are the problems with IPFS, BitTorrent, I2P, and how they look at it and how they look at Nostr fitting into that whole element.
Yeah.
You skipped over our only software release I put in the list today, which is
Bitcoin Core version 0.27. BIP 324 V2 transport on by default now in a new mempool.dat format and more. Anything else?
Yeah, so big Bitcoin Core release. I will say that I saw Lalu posted that, you know, they LND, Lightning Labs uses BTCD, which is an alternative Bitcoin implementation. Or they use that library in LND. And so this new release, I guess this is actually Bitcoin Core 27.0. Yeah, the title's wrong. They use BTCD's library in LND. And so if you update to this new version of Bitcoin Core, you break your LND note. So don't yet.
That's not ideal. No, is that LND's fault? Or Core shouldn't have to worry about downstream dependencies. So
yeah, no, that's because LND relies on BTCD, which is an alternative implementation. And there was some like unit mistake that was like in there. So if you're using it with an LND node, wait to update.
It's good to know because I am using Bitcoin Core with an LND node, so I will not update.
There you go.
Do they have a...
I'm sure they're rushing an update on the LND side. Basically, you're going to have to wait for the new LND update, and then you update that first, and then you...
Yeah.
So we have someone in the Nostr live chat saying the RPC code in BTCD's RPC client BTC JSON library was using sat per kilobyte rather than Bitcoin per kilobyte for the max fee value, and they need to update that.
Get on it. Get on an L&D team in BTCD. What else do we have here? Big things this week in the financial side of things. Japan seems to be losing control of its peg. I think it's above 154. Not ideal. The Fed had a terrible treasury auction. I believe it was at the beginning of this week or maybe the end of last week for the 10-year. At the same time, Janet Yellen and the Treasury have reopened the treasury buyback window for the first time since 2001. They did that after 9/11, because the country was in a dire strait and it was very uncertain times. They didn't know where treasury demand was going to come from. So the treasury opened the buyback window. It's 2024. Things are a bit crazy, but nothing like 9/11's happened recently and the buyback window is open. So another vehicle through which the treasury is trying to drive demand for Bitcoin.
Take it easy on my lady.
What, how do you think of her progression from
Janet
to Treasury? Do you think she thinks about you at all?
Not as much as I think about her.
Do you guys talk at all?
she's so cute, honestly. No, but my,
are you disappointed in her psychedelic usage?
She's really gone the, yeah, the, she's gone on what, an ayahuasca retreat or something like that.
Yeah, she was eating shrooms with the CCP.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's incredible.
It was like real shrooms, or was it just like eating mushrooms?
I think she said it was in some soup, and she had to come out and admit that there were psychoactive properties to the particular soup with that was mushroom infused that she had.
Oh wow!
Good goodness. what can I say? What can I say? That's incredible.
I mean, what do you?
But what? No, she's maintained her criticism of Bitcoin, so I gotta thank her. She hasn't let the meme down. Everyone likes a villain. Everyone likes a heel. Especially if they.
She's getting too old. She needs to hang it up, dude.
Man, many such cases. Yeah. Our whole government is a little long in the tooth, but.
What did Biden say yesterday? That was he said his father was eaten by cannibals at the end of World War II.
What the fuck? Is that true though?
Apparently not.
Maybe.
I think.
No, the stat that's crazy to me, and like fuck Bill Clinton, but he is younger today than both presidential candidates. Which is a fucking ridiculous stat.
Who is it really puts
it, yeah, today, like not when he entered office, like 20 years ago or whenever the fuck that was. He's younger today than both Biden and Trump. And not by much, like by a couple months, but still, it's fucking insane.
Yeah. I mean, this is late stage shit. Does it like, I think
mandibles. So think
mandibles. I think Trump's going to win this year because I do think they want him holding the bag when.
Because of the Latinos por Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Por Dios.
Yeah. That's the big thing. I mean, yeah, we're going to have this reward halving, with subsidy halving tonight. And then all focus will move to the election.
I think I just got to. Got one of those Donald Trump texts saying it's probably about the halving.
Last thing we have on the list here, which we should talk about, we mentioned it last week, and we do have more context here. FISA Section 702 reauthorization bill allowing the NSA to force U.S. business service surrogate spies advances to Senate. If you read the particulars of this bill, it is pretty insane. Like the NSA basically has the ability to go to cafes, bars like PubKey. So now with this reauthorization, the NSA can technically come to PubKey and say, hey, we need all your Wi-Fi data of people connecting to your bar Wi-Fi and the information on their IPs and other shit like that. Wow.
I mean, all that stuff's been vacuumed up for years.
that's the question I have, Matt, is are they just doing this anyway and now it's like out in the open?
No, I mean, I think this makes it strictly worse. I mean, the key here is that you don't require a warrant at all because it's targeting foreigners, quote unquote, but like they scoop up a bunch of American data with it anyway. You know, what is the only thing there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government action, and they just expand whatever scope they get. It's a one-way street. It's like a ratcheting effect. Just gets ratcheted up and up and up and up, never goes backwards. It's fucked up. And this is like one of the few things that our corrupt politicians can agree on. Is fucking spying on us and subjugating us.
That's what I recorded with Whitney and Mark Webb. And that was a core message in that episode. Is like, don't fall for the partisan frame that they're trying to put you in, like Biden, Trump, two geriatrics. F- fighting for president. They're going to get you all riled up. If Trump wins, fascism is coming to America. If Biden wins, we have a legit dementia-ridden president still running the country.
AOC voted against it.
Good. Good. Good for AOC.
You should have her on the pod.
I will say that this epoch,
the fact that this was bipartisan is disgusting.
I mean, of course it was. It's like the least surprising thing ever. Talking about like going forward on this next epoch, I think one thing that is pretty crazy to witness is Bitcoin truly becoming like this macro thermometer, the only free market that exists in the world, 24/7, 365, no circuit breakers. And it's pretty unbelievable to actually witness. Like, this is something that a lot of us have theorized for a while. But over last weekend, right, in between since RHR, right, Iran launched their attack on Israel, and Bitcoin immediately dumped on that. The only market trading was like $9,000. The middle of the night on a weekend.
No, it was the middle of the day, because I remember I was driving in my car to a baseball game.
But it was on a weekend.
Yeah, it was on a Saturday. Right. It was on Saturday, in the middle of the day, around like 2 p.m. Central. It went from 69,000 to 60,000.
And then we had a similar situation yesterday or last night, late last night, but
why was it pumping last night?
What happened was news of the Israel attack, price dropped, and then it was like, okay, it wasn't really that much. It was kind of just, you know, like a political positioning kind of thing. And like I don't think anyone died or anything. And then
I think both attacks were theater.
So the price, exactly. So the price drops and then comes back up. And my point is like, these are the early days of like Bitcoin being this like macro thermometer, like the only free market that exists, period. And that's going to be pretty crazy to witness this epoch. And I think that's going to be pretty crazy to witness this election cycle as all this kind of craziness starts to ramp up. But yeah, like that's where we are today, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It does dump on.
What was that you cut?
Bitcoin does frequently dump on bad news. I mean,
not as pronounced as it was last weekend. It was shocking.
If people think that World War III is actually arriving, I mean,
but
I don't think that's bullish. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, bullish.
Did you catch Nat Brunel on Fox Business News with Peter Schiff? She made the argument that Bitcoin is actually up significantly since Hamas targeted Israel on October 7th, which is like an insane framework to run through your head. It's like, oh, well, like here's the performance since the terrorist attack. Here's the performance between gold and Bitcoin. It's just that's the state of the world today.
Yeah. And that's what makes last weekend's dump perplexing. So you'd think if you have this turmoil throughout the world, people would seek the safe haven of an apolitical protocol.
In the short term, it's a liquidity thing.
Yeah, their final consumption asset. They buy toilet paper, dump Bitcoin for toilet paper, Bitcoin for
ammo.
Freeze-dried food and 556.
Phoenixammunition.com.
I'm thinking that's at the individual level. I'm thinking at like the macro level for institutions. Like they see that popping off. It's like, is that going to lead to more polarization within the dollar system?
Doesn't literally in both situations, U.S. financial markets were closed.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin never closes.
We never get a break.
24/7, 365 liquidity, no circuit breakers, feature not a bug. The most saleable liquid asset in the world.
Yeah, which means it's saleable in those moments.
But I mean, it's also the best thing to hold in, you know, in times of uncertainty. So it
could be the first comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we saw. You want to talk about the halving last year, right? March 2020, 2 months before the halving, Bitcoin was the first thing to go down and Bitcoin was the first thing to recover. Yeah. Because there was no bullshit. It was literally just free markets.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Remember, they had like a whole week of just like circuit breakers going off in traditional markets.
Yeah, and I'm
like, we're pausing trading.
How pronounced, like, is it good that these moves are this pronounced though on these events, and will they decline in severity as more liquidity comes? Ideally,
yeah, it's a question of liquidity, right? And it's a question of like people can leverage whatever the fuck they want to leverage, right? So it gets amplified by short squeezes and long squeezes on both sides.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, with adoption and with liquidity, it should become, you know, the most quote unquote stable asset in the world. It's just humans are inherently volatile. So if you have a free market, like there's going to be some levels of volatile. If the world is volatile, you know, the asset that the world uses to save their time and wealth will be volatile. That's just how it is. I will say, like, when the I got like a text message about like the Israel attack yesterday and or last night, and I was like, is this fake news or is this real? What I did was I just pulled up the Bitcoin price. I was like, oh, it's probably real.
No, like I said earlier, I think it's both theater. That's another thing we talked about with Whitney, is the fear is a very good tool to control people, that is used to control
it's
people.
It's the tool.
Yes. And I think this, I mean, I don't want to get like political or anything, but I think there's a lot of fear tactics being deployed right now.
I mean, I don't think that's political.
In many different facets.
For many fucking decades, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let them scare you, freaks. Don't
47 succumb. Blocks.
Don't succumb to that's it. We were at 50. Blocks. We were at 55 when we started.
There you go.
And we have
strike up the band.
No, we've been live for like 80 minutes, so that makes sense. Good pace here. Good pacing here.
I need a wrap soon.
You need a wrap soon?
Yeah.
All right. If you have to wrap soon.
What, like Alex Thorne? Galaxy Brain? I need a double what cheeseburger and hold the lettuce.
I have no idea what that reference is.
Alex Thorne? He raps every podcast.
Yeah, he opens his podcast with a rap.
I know Alex. I've never listened to the Galaxy Brains podcast.
Wow.
He does have some good episodes. I've listened to a few.
I like Alan.
With the...
To be clear.
Yeah, yes. Great podcast. Great rapping too, Alex. All right. Since you got a rap soon, predictions for the next epoch. What's going to happen between block height 840,000 and block height 1,050,000? We're gonna hit block height 1,000,000 within this epoch. It's a pretty big milestone.
Mandibles than Bitcoin standard.
That's an epic sat.
Oh god damn.
My prediction is Marty will not read will continue to not read Mandibles this epoch.
Is it worth reading?
Yeah, damn right it is. Have you not read it either?
Oh man.
You read the whole Urbit white paper, but you didn't read Mandibles? Are you fucking kidding me?
Is it literature?
That's a stretch.
Or is it just sort of Bitcoin fanfic? That's what I need.
No, it's not Bitcoin fanfic. She wrote it in 2014, 2015, and she actually thought Bitcoin was going to fail. It's more like a fiction version of When Money Dies set in the United States.
I see. So it's sort of monetary fiction.
It's easier to read than When Money Dies.
Monetary science fiction.
It's a relatively easy read, actually, and it puts a good, I think it adds some good perspective onto like kind of where we're going in a hyperinflationary environment in the United States. And obviously Bitcoin will help lessen that situation. But you know, despite what some influencers tell you, there's still not that many Bitcoiners. Like, there will still be a lot of pain if the world's number one shitcoin goes through a hyperinflation period. It's not like Argentina going through its like fourth hyperinflation period. It's
going to be ugly.
Everyone's quote unquote safe haven asset doing it. And every other fiat currency at the same time.
Well, are we saying hyperinflation this epoch?
Living it, man.
Yeah,
There will be vilification of Bitcoiners.
You think so?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
It won't just be, oh, congrats, you're so rich, you were right. No, it'll be
it's not going to be that.
It's people are going to hate you.
No, that's what we were actually talking, because Thomas mentioned earlier, but like TJ Miller's a friend of PubKey. I met him last night. We were talking, and he's like a hardcore Bitcoiner, and he was describing his first realization of this friend envy that materializes when they realize that you told them about Bitcoin.
It's going to be a thousand times worse. I mean, that's just resentment for not making the same gains. But I mean, talk to a person who just had the monetary premium stripped out of their home, which is their entire savings. I mean, those people will be mad.
Rightfully so.
Mad.
The ire should not be pointed at us.
No.
Rightfully so at us.
But messengers get shot.
Yeah.
People are going to be mad.
We'll be relatively easy scapegoats too.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be those everyone's getting hilariously rich and you're not. I mean, that's an easy thing for the masses to hate.
So how do we prepare for this?
Easy target. Start doing community service. humble yourself, wear sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes.
Don't do it for the karmic retribution on the Bitcoin side. Just do it in general. I do community service.
It's good.
It's it's fun.
No, just strong local communities.
Yeah.
Build your local community. Help your neighbors. I mean, that's one of the reasons Bitcoin Park exists. And also, like if you're American, first of all, we have states' rights, which is a key pillar of our governance system.
Never and, fight up penalty boys.
Unlike Bitcoin Sign Guy, like don't have your family in Connecticut, you know, like I feel like, or New York or California. Or you said it at the beginning of the episode, so I feel comfortable. We're talking about tobacco.
I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. You'll never pin me down.
I mean, it's true though. Like, I mean, Mandibles. First of all, if you don't read Mandibles, you're doomed to live it. So it doesn't matter. And then, second of all, if you read Mandibles, like it is based in New York. Like, there are certain areas that will be worse than others. I think Europe is like a really horrible place to be right now. Like just across the board, and just probably like any kind of dense population centers are probably going to be worse. But I'm not trying to be a doomer. I think there's a lot of hope and optimism out there, and I think a lot of like aligned individuals and individuals who want to see the world be a better place can make it much better. Like I think people underestimate how much change a few individuals can do, and a group of empowered individuals can do even more change than that in a positive way.
Completely agree. And you need to take action in those regards because the government, the banks,
you got to do you got to do shit.
They're not going to manufacture the soft landing. You have to create the soft landing.
There's no such thing as a soft landing. It's a crash.
Yeah.
It's just the plane fucking crashed.
Yeah. You can create your own soft landing.
Or I guess a soft landing is just a regular landing, but like a hard landing is a ridiculous concept. That's just a crash. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
No one calls it a hard landing. No one's like, "Ah, brace for a hard landing." No, you're fucking crashing. I don't know. Real skills, like learn real skills, improve your local communities, help your neighbors. I think it's all about grassroots. It's grassroots. It's freedom tech. These are actionable things you can change. The existing game is just broken and corrupt. You can't play that game. You have to play a different game.
Yes, completely agree. And now on to more optimistic predictions. Let's focus on Bitcoin tech. What do you think will begin to materialize? I'll start. Like we have been for years, and I do think it's getting. Yeah.
Mm.
I think
that's what you're going to say, right?
Yeah, Justin.
I think Chami and Mints are going to be big.
I'm pretty excited about Chami and eCash in general.
Yeah.
not just Fetterman's, single sig and multi-sig Charm and eCash. It doesn't require Bitcoin protocol change. I'm wearing my BTC Pay chain. I'm pretty excited still. I think that project is, you know, it empowers merchants. At the end of the day, I think we're still early on Bitcoin as long as most people are buying or selling Bitcoin. The turning point is when most people are spending or earning Bitcoin. So more tools to help that circular economy. Nostr, I'm incredibly excited about. I think people are sleeping on how that compounds with Bitcoin and how complementary that is to Bitcoin. You have a freedom of speech protocol and a freedom money protocol combined together. They're so much more powerful. We're essentially like building a global Bitcoin circular economy over on the Nostr side of things. And massive levels of webs of trust and verifiable information. Every event is signed by public key, private key pair. I think that is all super exciting. I don't know. I think don't sleep on your open source contributors. I think our open source contributors are our greatest single asset. And a lot of times they're working on things that we can't even really comprehend what the impact will be, especially on a 4-year time scale.
Yeah. And beyond like the technical products that you just described, which I agree with and am bullish on and do think will mature over the next epoch, on the financial, I think going back to the doomer part of the conversation with hard landing, soft landing, crash, whatever it may be, and particularly to your comment, Christian, about people losing the value of their wealth via something like their house. I do think products that use Bitcoin as collateral, and sort of particularly for credit products like a mortgage or something like that, incorporating Bitcoin into those structures will become more commonplace, especially as hyperinflation continues and accelerates, which
will be Bitcoin's the single best collateral, right? And the world doesn't realize that yet. That's why if you borrow against your Bitcoin, it's like a 15% fucking rate. It should be the lowest, especially if it's over collateralized in collaborative custody, non-rehypothecated. It should be the lowest possible rate of lending. I think multi-sig, simple but beautiful. I think we're starting to see the dawn of multisig. It's been a long, long, I mean, we talked about Final Message earlier. I don't remember when I launched it, but it was, maybe it was the beginning of the epoch. It was based on the idea of multisig. It's still taken, it's taken a while for the tools to get built out, right? Because that kind of thing, you need interoperability for it to be really helpful. You need multiple software clients you can use. I don't know if Sparrow Wallet existed at the beginning of this epoch. I don't think it did. If it did, it just got launched. Stuff like Sparrow Wallet is fucking massive. The rise of different hardware signing devices that use a PSBT standard, fucking huge. Those simple things. To this day, like, I sign so many multi-sig transactions, and God, man, it feels like a fucking superpower every time you do it. It's the most insane thing. Like, the keys don't have to be in the same place. You don't have to trust any of the individual signers, like, especially on an organizational point of view. It is the coolest fucking thing. So I think people are sleeping on that.
I do as well.
The future's bright. The future's we just got to go through darkness before the light comes through, and we can shorten the darkness. We can shorten the darkness and get through to the light quicker. Is my overarching thesis. It's a thesis of hope and optimism.
Are you as hopeful?
While understanding the reality of the situation.
Get close to the mic.
Am I hopeful? Well, I mean, I'm holding Bitcoin. my take is probably more controversial. My take is the one that I originally had when I got into Bitcoin, which is that human management of money is being repudiated by the techno-capital singularity. And we are moving to a system which is beyond the human. So that could be very, very positive. If you are looking for pure free markets, that could be negative if you're a type of person who's always relied on sort of the recourse to the social to get by. So I mainly am starting to just sort of stack the mental sandbags for the backlash against Bitcoin success, basically.
Yeah.
I foresee a prolonged period of, yeah.
Yeah, discontent. Mandibles than Bitcoin standard.
Discontent, yeah.
I know you haven't read Mandibles, but it sounds like you agree with me.
But also, you know,
like discontent to the point you think the people come to PubKey and like harass.
I wouldn't want to hyperstition something like that on this platform. So I would say on the other side, by finally basically stripping the human out of sort of the root level access to the economy via currency, I think there's an enormous opportunity for the reinvention or the rediscovery of human values through things that are purely social and not basically these, our markets are artificial, basically. I'm not sure that they correspond to human values. So
as they're formed today.
Right. So we can basically take this as a gigantic opportunity to refound humanism or spiritualism, whatever your human virtue and human ethic is. I think this is we're approaching a moment when that is no longer encumbered by the artificial system of capital. Sorry to sound all Marxist, but everyone please read Cryptocurrent. Thank you.
Cryptocurrent.
Nick Land, magnum opus. Most important piece of work written on Bitcoin since the white paper.
When did he release that?
A year or two ago. I mean, he was working on it for a while.
He's an Urbit guy, right?
We put him on Urbit, but he evades all definition. So
got it.
Yeah.
Is it with an A? Cryptocurrent with an A?
Cur like the berries? No, current like current like electric
current news. Okay, got it.
Bitcoin is flowing. Truly.
Well, Proton's not moving along. This is what Pierre, Drew Armstrong, and I talked about for like an hour last night. Protons don't actually move.
Electrons move, though. Yes. Electrons jump. They leap.
Yes.
They're like little monkeys swinging from trees. What do you think about that, Joe Rogan?
Man. It's wild, man. You guys got me all doomed out. The day of the halving. Talking about mammals. Everybody's going to come after us.
Look, I'm more optimistic. I gave an optimistic slant.
Yeah.
Bitcoin sign guy like really brought down the.
I'm sorry. Hey, look.
Don't put that on me.
I'm excited to do things that don't have to even correspond to markets or anything like that. That's all now. That's Bitcoin demonstrates that's all now completely in the domain of this singularity, and there's no longer the pretension that it's controlled by any even government.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. Okay.
Sorry, James.
I'm pulling up. I want to do
there's
one
like
more
way too. Team. There's like way too much philosophy. I'm fading this conversation.
All right, I'm gonna do one more prediction. So last halving. The network hash rate was around 120 exahash per second. We're currently sitting at.
No, fuck.
We're currently sitting at.
What was the last one?
120 around the last halving. We're currently around 600 now, so a 5x.
Okay.
In the Z-Pak. Another 5X from here would be 3 Zeta hash. Do you think we get the 3 Zeta hash by the end? By block height, 10,050,000.
What do you think? Over under?
I mean, if actually something we should probably bring up is Jihan Wu announced last night at an event.
I mean, what is a Zeta hash, man?
It's once you
what is a Zeta hash?
I mean, you know that thing where a human can visualize one marble, maybe 8 marbles in their mind's eye. That is, and once you go past 20 marbles, you're really just thinking in abstract terms. I don't think that a person like me could even comprehend what 1,000 is to look at. What does 1,000 look like? So 1,000 of the amount of hash right now, what does that even look like?
I think the answer is obviously over.
Over 3 Zeta hash?
Yeah.
Easy. Well, that's, again, going back to what Jihan Wu announced last night, that there will be 2-nanometer chips, ASICs, that hit the market in 2025 that have an efficiency of 5 joules per terahash. And to put that in the context, it's an insane claim. We'll see if it actually materializes. But right now, the S21 series, I believe they're 17.5 joules per terahash, maybe 15.
The upper limit, in my opinion, is humankind's energy production. And that's not measured in hashes.
I think the real question is...
Because the machines get more and more efficient over time.
Yeah, but that's so that you need less energy to produce more hashes. So you could...
Exactly.
There is a hypothetical
saying. It's not, it's not strictly measured in hashes, right? Because it depends on the current efficiency of miners. And right now we're using like 1% of human energy and the machines are getting more efficient. Like, we're going to be way over. I think trend's up.
The real question is what mining company is going to buy the New York Fed building and fill it with ASICs?
That's a good question. I actually did have somebody reach out to me a few years ago. Apparently they have massive substations in some of the basements of the buildings in not substations, but I think like alternative generators in the basements of a lot of these buildings in FIDI with like a ton of excess energy.
Yeah.
That can be utilized.
Do you remember it was one of those hurricanes a couple of years ago? And by a couple, I mean probably 10. And the entire city of Manhattan was blacked out except for the Goldman Sachs building.
Yeah.
And you saw it glowing like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. I was here actually. I was not living here yet. I think I'm visiting my now wife from Chicago. I got stuck here. It was like the first time. We were like just newly dating. And I got stranded with her for 5 days during that hurricane. We were on the Upper East Side. She was on the Upper East Side at the time. So,
do you think that brought you closer?
I think so. Yeah. Pretty close to me. I guess.
What do you think, Marty? Over, under 3 Zeta hashes?
I think if these claims by Jihan Wu are true and you get 2 nanometer,
no, I don't want a qualifier.
5 over joules under. Per terahash.
Over
I mean,
under.
5 joules per terahash. Like, I never thought that would be possible.
Over under, it Marty.
Be way over if that's true.
Okay. Regardless if that's true or not, over under. You want to take the under?
No. Another 5X from here. No, yeah, because I think a lot of countries are getting in.
Okay.
The demand for
that was just a huge waste of time. Okay, so we're both at over. Got it.
Yeah, over 3 Zeta hash. So another 5X increase from here.
And you still think mempools will clear this epoch, right?
Yeah, eventually. Eventually. Always eventually.
When was the last?
Well, me and Marty have a bet that it's like next February 29th. So technically they could still clear this epoch as long as it happens after the next leap year. I still win my bet. Just to be clear.
Yeah. All right, freaks. We are currently 43 blocks away from the subsidy halving. Awesome. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for the technical difficulties in the beginning, Matt. Thank you for helping me.
Thomas, strike up the band.
You're welcome.
It's problems. It's good to be back in New York.
The police sirens in the background is like the most New York thing ever. It's like the third time it's happened.
Scarcity.
Yeah, please.
You should chill it.
I
can't shill. I'm allergic to shilling. You shill it.
Bitcoin, the buy Bitcoin sign I'm looking at it, the original. That was held behind Janet Yellen.
Is the
we still haven't seen it on the stream.
Yeah, the camera's on. You can't see it on the screen. All right, he's gonna grab it. But it is being auctioned off on Scarcity. What's the website? Scarcity.com?
Scarce.city.
Scarce.city, excuse me. Don't that'll buy be going on for the next 8 days.
It's overpriced.
It ends on Wednesday, so not 8 days, 5 days. He's gonna get signed. He's putting on white gloves.
Is he really putting on gloves? Damn, get over yourself.
I can't hear anything. There you go.
It's framed too already. There we go. Love you, freaks. Happy having. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.